They're the perfect loving family, so adoring. And I love them every day of every week.
It started as a show called Feeling Electric in 1998 when the playwright and lyricist Brian Yorkie saw a TV news story about electroconvulsive therapy. He suggested it as a topic of a brief musical to his friend and fellow Columbia University student Tom Kitt. They wrote a draft of a musical inspired by the story for a musical theater workshop in New York. 10 years later, it arrived off-Broadway, where it promptly failed. That's usually the end of the story for musicals, but it wasn't for this one, which evolved into a hit show called Next to Normal, which won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 2010, and in 2011, it was nominated for 11 Tony Awards, and it won 3. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. David Schweitzer is an internationally acclaimed director of plays, musicals, and opera who has returned to center stage with a new production of Next to Normal. And he's here in the studio with me, along with a member of this engaging and compelling cast, Callie Dooling. Welcome to you both.
Thank you,
Tom.
So, David, good to see you again. Yeah. Welcome home, because you're a Baltimore guy.
I am a Baltimore, proud Baltimore
That's
native.
That's it, born and bred. tell us about the plot of this. This is a musical about, of all things, among other things, mental illness.
I know. Imagine that, huh? At first, you wonder what there is to sing about. But it's really about how this family copes with the fact that their brilliant mom is bipolar, sometimes delusional, wildly erratic in her behavior, and the ups and downs of that and how it affects their own lives. And there's an incredible kind of force field of energy around it. It's as if everyone in the piece is really searching for a way to get through and anchor themselves and deal with this thing as if it's not the end of the world. And so for all the harrowing aspects of it, there's something kind of exhilarating about it that allows music to be made, even around events like her getting the electroshock therapy, which is a hard rock song.
Yeah.
And then there are tender moments where people kind of confess their feelings. You know, Callie plays the daughter, who is a very bright girl. She's a piano virtuoso, and she's headed out onto graduate school to get away from this situation, but she contends with it on a daily basis, and so, you know, and she's trying to deal with whether or not she can trust herself enough to accept a relationship with a new boyfriend. It's a very rich show, and so I found it really exciting to work on, and to me, it's that kind of thing. To me, these musicals are kind of like the contemporary American modern operas.
Yeah, the energy level of this, Callie Dooling, is really quite extraordinary. I mean, I saw it in previews last week. You guys, it's a wonderful ensemble cast. I guess there's, what, 8 of you, something like
six
that?
Six of us.
And you are constantly in motion, and you are constantly singing. It's not your grandmother's musical.
No.
It's not
right.
South Pacific, where, you know, we talk for a while and then sing a song.
Right.
How do you get the groove with the other 5 cast members and rehearse, you know, the timing and the energy, keeping the energy going? I would imagine that that's a challenge.
Well, it certainly isn't, it's not the easiest show to perform. It's not, you know, one where you can just go backstage and hang out for a little while and get your energy back for the next number. But in a way, it's almost even more compelling because you are in it for the entire time. If you're off stage for a second, usually we're changing clothes. And then come right back on for something else. So the story is just constantly in motion, and each of our little subplots and things going on are just constantly being propelled forward. So in a way, even though it's intense 2.5-hour show for each and every one of us in our own ways, it's really special to be a part of, because there isn't that second to, like, stop and forget what you're, you know what I mean? Forget what you're doing. We're just constantly in it and moving forward.
Yeah, we've all done shows that have their moments of, oh, Lord, is this thing ever going to be over?
There's just never a moment like that. And it's really special to be a part of.
Yeah, because here's this woman with bipolar disorder who receives electroshock therapy, and you would really think on its face, you know, this does not a musical make. On the other hand, you know, we've got Jekyll and Hyde, you know, we've got these other stories that seem kind of violent and upsetting, but they do make good musicals. What animates the music in this thing? You write in a program note, you answer or you raise a really interesting question that Yorkie and Kit, the writer and composer, have figured out why it is people have to sing at certain moments. So why is it?
I think it's because they can't express it any other way. They have no alternative. It needs to move up into another level of communication. And so, you know, something that could be a mundane conversation or a confrontation or, you know, emotions wouldn't be revealed in quite that same way without the music. And so what they've done to me, which is marvelous because they were really young guys when they wrote this, was that they have figured out a way to have people sing in these really about these really complex issues, these emotional roller coastery things, and they use a pop rock vocabulary, basically. I mean, a very sensitive one that's a lot more complicated than it seems. The orchestrations have a really beautiful use of strings, cello. We have an amazing cello player with us, you know, but at first glance, and really mostly permeating the charge, the kind of force of the score, is that rock, chordal, guitar-driven, keyboard-driven musical basis. You wouldn't think that that level of complexity could be contained within that kind of music.
Yeah, and there's a lovely mix of ballads and you know, big ensemble numbers and you know, hard rock and roll things, and there's some country western influence in there. There's all sorts of stuff. I'm interested, Callie, how did you get this gig? I mean, what did you do for this audition? Because this casting this would be, you know, really important, like for any show.
Yeah.
But I mean, what when you read the script and when you know got the call, what did you think? Okay, here's how I'm going to get this job.
I had auditioned for the show before, so I'm very familiar with the material, and it's one of my favorite shows. I mean, as with a lot of people, it's just such a fantastic show. So I got a call from my agent if I could come in. It was kind of a last minute thing, and so I didn't honestly have time to prepare, so I just went and did it, and it was kind of great because I just didn't have that second to do my regular freak out panic. So I just went in and had fun.
So they had you sing some of the songs from the show?
Yep. I sang two songs from the show and did some of the scenes that I have with my boyfriend Henry. And in all honesty, my callback wasn't fantastic, and they brought me back in and had me do it again. And it was great. I mean, I feel very grateful that I got the opportunity because I know it certainly there are a lot of very talented girls out there.
Of course, it's a highly competitive business, but you're terrific in the role.
Oh, thank you.
It sounds great, and it's very convincing. And what's fun for me about this, or compelling for me, I guess, one of the aspects is that every character is quite exquisitely chiseled out and defined, and they're all sympathetic. You love every one of them, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, I find it difficult to relate to the bad guys, you know, or the bad women in these shows. What was it about this piece that appealed to you? You really wanted to do this one. You wanted to jump on this train here.
I did. I raised when Kwame was putting his season together, I really raised my hand. I have been close to situations with people like that, and with
dealing with bipolar disorder,
mm-hmm. dealing with mental illness in general, and I just really love the way this show posits that you can hang in and survive it, and maybe grow from that. I mean, it's so far from an easy answer. It is not, you know, as Callie will say, I mean, in the rehearsals, I said, you know, these people, this is tough love. This is not a sentimental show. But there is a sense that by having these unusual experiences and learning how to roll with these crazy circumstances, they become bigger, better, more able to help other people. It just it had something really great in that balance for me, and I mm-hmm. I felt like it was a good thing for me that I could put it across well, that it would still be entertaining, but it wouldn't be too, you know, soft and droopy. Mm-hmm. That would have some punch.
As you met about this and as you began the rehearsal process, did you worry that a subject as sensitive, as difficult as mental illness, bipolar disorder, you know, and for our listeners who have family members or who themselves are grappling mm-hmm. with these really difficult challenges, did you worry that because it was in a rock and roll musical, it was going to be thought to be treated flippantly or you know, insensitively?
I don't think so. I think what's so amazing about Next to Normal is that I don't think that there's any person that could sit in the audience and not relate to someone or something that happens in the show. I mean, we go, you know, walking home after the show, you know, talk to an audience member, every single person has a story or resonates in a certain way. And so I think just in knowing the show and knowing that from the New York production and my response when I saw that a couple times, everybody has, you know, just an incredibly honest and strong response to it. Just resonates with everyone.
Also, this has been on your mind as you conceived of this production.
Certainly. Absolutely. And it's also very funny.
Yeah,
I mean, they battle their you know, seemingly insurmountable obstacles with you know, tough humor. And I think a thing that's really important about it is the casting. And I think, you know, Callie is typical of the success of this cast. They have to feel right. They have to feel like they could be these people and yet have the technical skill to sing about it and to put it over in a heightened performative way. And that's not the easiest. You know, that takes a high caliber. So I'm very fortunate with the cast we have there.
It's a good group. David Schweitzer is the director, and Kelly Dooling plays the role of Natalie in Next to Normal at Baltimore's Center Stage. It's there until November 16th. We've got a link to more information about the show on our website. Come to WIPR.org/Marilyn Morning. And our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick, will share her review of Next to Normal on Monday morning right here on Marilyn Morning. Well, David, Callie, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And break a leg for the rest of the run.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Marilyn Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WIPR, in Baltimore. We're produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. We've got production help from Payam Agagasim and Elizabeth Sherwood. Our coffee is provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. Check them out at the farmers markets or on the web at zekescoffee.com. You can find an archive of our show online at wipr.org/Marilyn Morning. You can listen live online anytime at wipr.org/listen. And please join us Monday when we'll begin a new series of conversations right here on Marilyn Morning about religion and ethics. It's called Living Questions. And we'll kick it off Monday with a discussion with an Islamic scholar, a Jewish scholar, and a Catholic scholar from the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. Living Questions begins Monday morning here on Marilyn Morning with Sheila Cast. Until then, for Sheila and Nathan, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.